your Bibles, turn with me to Titus chapter 2. As we continue our verse-by-verse study of this short epistle of Paul, short but powerful, very similar to what he wrote in 1 Timothy to Pastor Timothy, was in Ephesus, Titus on the Isle of Crete. And we actually spent all of last time on verse number 1. We kind of did a preview as Paul in chapter 2 goes into specific instructions and expectations of various groups of people in the church. He started out, of course, as he often did in his epistles. He gave some doctrine, gave some warnings, talked about false teachers, how to refute them. But here he starts talking about how each individual group, older men, older women in the church, young women in the church, young men in the church, and then finally, servants and masters in the church. So let's look at... Begin by reading verses 1 and 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, those things which are fitting for spiritual well-being, spiritual health, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. Father, we thank you for this portion of Scripture and ask you to add your blessing to the reading of your word this morning. May our hearts be pliable. May our ears be open to truth. Maybe not be hindered by thoughts of what we're going to do when we get home this afternoon or what we're going to do this week. But Lord, I pray our minds would be stayed upon you and upon your word. Holy Spirit of God, please work in our midst. Draw us ever nearer to you. Touch the heart of that one that's lost, without hope, without direction. We pray today would be the day of salvation for that one. And Lord, may you be pleased and glorified with all that's said and done. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, older men. When I got saved almost 48 years ago, of course, I wasn't an older man. I was just a young whippersnapper, 24 years old, almost 24 years old. Now, as I read this, I say, man, he's talking to me. I'm one of those aged men. Well, he gives some pretty clear instruction, and he only dedicated one verse to the aged men, the older men in the church. He said that we are to be sober. A lot of translations translate that temperate. Temperate. First thing we think of course, when we think of sober, and it is the root idea of the word in the original, is to be free from intoxication. We know that we're not to be drunk with wine, but we are to be filled with the Spirit. It's also used in the New Testament as a metaphor for one who is moderate. One who is moderate. You could say one who is sensible. One that's pretty much in control of himself. Or better yet, he allows God's Spirit to be in control. He's yielded to the Spirit of God. The tragedy is when we get up in years and we hit 70 and 80 years old and we look back over our lives as Christians and we don't see very much growth. As a matter of fact, maybe we see a digression. But the things that we're talking about here this morning should be true of every born-again believer as we grow older. Now, these things doesn't mean that someone young is not to be sober or not to be temperate. That obviously is true for everyone that's a born-again believer. But this should be very well known among those that are older in the Lord, avoiding overindulgence, avoiding extravagance, sober-minded, serious-minded, able to discern the things that really matter in life. I mean, when we get up there past 60 years old, we certainly should understand what things are important, what things aren't, shouldn't we? We should, of course, long before that, but certainly when we're up there 60, 70, 80 years old, we should figure out what really matters. We should be able to use our time and our treasure and our talent and our energy better than when I was younger. I mean, we should be developing in all areas. We should also be more careful and selective in our priorities as we grow older. I think priorities change over time, don't they? But for the child of God, they should be pretty consistent from the time of salvation on. But especially as we grow older in the Lord. We also, as we grow older, I think this is also part of being sober or temperate. We also appreciate the simple things in life. You know, stop the smell of roses. We're thankful for just the small things. And we certainly always appreciate that which we, I guess you could say, lose. Like when you turn on the spigot and no water's coming out. Kind of take it for granted, don't we? Hit that little handle or the one in the kitchen. We expect the water to come out. And so when it doesn't come out, it's number one, it's a shock because we always expect it to come out. And we can do the same thing with people. We can take them for granted. And then one day they're gone. And then we always look back and say, my, I wish I'd have done this. I wish I'd have said that. I wish this. I wish that. Too late. So an older man that is sober and temperate is moderate, not overindulgent, not extravagant, sober-minded, understands and able to discern the things that are important, the simple things in life, the things that are critical. Paul goes on and says he should be grave. That doesn't mean dead. I don't want you to get confused. Grave is translated in many translations dignified. Dignified, honorable. Not haughty, not thinking he or she or he is high class. Not frivolous, not trivial, not superficial. This kind of man, this child of God, this senior saint does not find humor in immorality, does not laugh at vulgarity or anything sinful and ungodly for that matter. It's not a joke. He understands the brevity of life. The older we are, the more we have experienced things. That goes without saying, doesn't it? As we grow older, we see more death. We see more suffering. We also see the hand of God. I look back over the last 48 years almost, that next month will be 48 years, that I've known the Lord as Savior. And I can see very clearly the hand of God at work in a lot of different ways. Some through very difficult times, some very good times. But, you know, our life is basically a mosaic that fills in over time. And as I grow older, mine, as is yours, is filling up more and more. And I'm seeing more and more of the whole picture. And that should be true of all of us, paying attention to how God is working, being thankful as the hand of God is at work, and appreciating who God is and how He's always there. He's always faithful. You know, I've been saved a long time, and you know God has always provided. Sometimes I had to work more. Sometimes it involved a lot of overtime to make ends meet, but God provided that. And He, all along the way, took care of me and my family, and he continues to do the same thing. So an older man who is dignified, honorable, grave, understands that God works even through tragedy and hardships. And as we experience these things, we should grow through them and learn even more of how not only to handle those circumstances, but to help others to get through them. He's also to be temperate. Probably a better translation is sensible, going along with being sober. Certainly we who have walked with God many years should have discernment, should have some discretion, wouldn't you think? We should have some good judgment, and we should certainly reject worldly standards, and we should be more entrenched in the standards of Almighty God and the teachings of the Word of God. And we certainly should be living those out so the younger men in the church, though Paul does not specifically talk about the older men teaching the younger men like he does, as we'll see in a bit, the older women are to teach the younger women. It's interesting that Paul didn't focus on older men teaching younger men, though obviously that should be true. We certainly should be able to control our physical passions as we resist worldly passions. And then Paul goes on to talk about older men being sound in three very important areas. He talks about faith, he talks about love, he talks about patience. They sound familiar, don't they? Because they're part of the fruit of the Spirit. So every saint, young and old, male or female, all have these capacities to have faith, love, and patience. We are to be sound. Sound is that which is as it ought to be. That which is as it ought to be. That which is healthy, proper, and whole. Faith. Certainly, we should be sound in faith. He's not talking here of saving faith. He's talking about faith in daily living. Trusting God along the way. As we live longer and longer and we see God's hand year after year, event after event, should we not grow in grace and knowledge and faith? Should we not grow in our believing God, taking him at his word? Our faith is tested and tried and proven, and certainly God has never left me, he's never forsaken me. He indeed has stuck closer than a brother. He's always available when I call upon him. And he has never proven to be unfaithful in any area whatsoever. God can be trusted. I don't need to question his wisdom. Now, I told you this before and I believe it with all my heart. If I had my choice, I can think of a whole lot of women, and this is kind of cruel, I know it sounds cruel, but I'm just being honest. You know, I can't stand lying or liars, because that, you know, the devil's the father of all lies. I'm pretty transparent. What you see is what you get. I know it's not much, but I want to be honest with you, transparent with you. I'm going to tell you this. I can think of a whole lot of women that I think, if you want to talk humanly now, that I don't want to sound cruel, because it does sound kind of cruel. Please take it. Don't take it that way. But there are some ladies, come on, be honest, that if we had our choice, would have gone before Barb. Not in this church. Oh, no. Not here. All of you are very special. I don't want any of you to go before Barb. I'm going to lose anybody in the church, okay? But out in the world, would you agree that there are some women out in the world that probably, humanly speaking, God, why don't you take her? She's kind of nasty. than to live for Christ. There's some in the political arena I could name, which you would probably agree with me. But I trust, you know, and I've told you this. I didn't ask God why he took Barbara. Number one, I won't get the answer. And number two, it doesn't matter. It was his will, wasn't it? And so as I grow older in the Lord, I seek to accept by faith what it is God's plan is. And sometimes, you know how it is, along the way, we make plans. The writer to Solomon wrote in Proverbs very clearly in a couple different places that we can make plans, but God can overrule those plans. It's his will that's important. Nothing wrong with us making plans. But like James wrote, well, if I'm going to go here and do this and do that, if it's the will of God. We can't boldly say I'm going to do this or that without saying if it's God's will. He might have a totally different direction. Like he did with Paul. Paul was going to go preach here. God said, no, I don't want you to go there. He was going to go there, and then God said, no, I want you to go to Macedonia. You remember that? So as we grow older, we should, of course, be willing to submit to God's will and abandon ours if it contradicts his will. We also should, of course, grow in our trust of his goodness and his grace, because God can be trusted, and we don't need to question his wisdom or his power. We are also to be sound in love. And you know, one of the greatest passages in all the Bible is 1 Corinthians 13. And just for sake of reminder, I just want to mention a couple of things in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 having to do with love. The only reason we got saved is because God so loved the world. God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we can only love God because he first loved us. Well, here Paul talks right in the midst of his treatment on spiritual gifts, especially the sign gifts. He pauses in the middle between chapters 12 and 14. He said, I want to stop here. I want to talk to you about love, because very easy to get the big head and start bragging about spiritual gifts that you got. And so he said, I don't want you to do that. I want you to understand the motivation behind exercising any of these gifts is love. And so in 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 4, love, and I'm going to, instead of saying charity, I'm going to say love. That was kind of the highest in the eyes of the translators back in 1600. That was the 1611. That was the word that meant most to them regarding love. Love suffers long. It's kind. It's patient. Love envies not. Love vaunteth not itself. It's not braggadocious. It's not puffed up. Doesn't behave itself unseemly. Seeks not her own. Love looks beyond our own little world, our own little circle, and looks to the needs of others. Love is not easily provoked. Thinks no evil. Doesn't wish evil on anyone. Doesn't rejoice in iniquity or the downfall of someone else or the hardships of others, maybe that aren't very lovely in themselves. We do not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. We bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, endureth all things. And of course, love never fails. We don't keep accounts of the wrongs that are suffered to us, things that people have done against us. We don't keep a logbook, a record. We keep short accounts. We also practice the truth. 1 John chapter 4. I don't know if I've told you this lately, but the second most favorite book in the New Testament, in the Bible really, is the book of 1 John. I love that book. Anybody remember the book I love the most? Book of Romans. 1 John chapter 4, we could look at a dozen or more passages here. But in chapter 4 and verse number 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God, or has a deep relationship with God. Experiencing God's love and sharing God's love. He that loveth not knoweth not God, because he doesn't have God's divine nature. And love has never entered into, this person has never entered into a personal, experiential knowledge and love of God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Verse number 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Next, he talks about patience. Patience, endurance, perseverance is another translation. Able to endure hardship. Older men should certainly understand that life will involve hardships because we've already gone through a lot of them. And so we should learn in a better and more spiritual way to endure hard times, accept disappointment, accept failure. Learning, as Paul spoke of, being content in no matter what state we're in, even if we're in West Virginia. Oh, that's right. It doesn't mean that kind of state, does it? By the way, I'm going to remind you, I love West Virginia. I've been here most of my life now, and I can't imagine being anywhere else but heaven. I'll be here till I die. Those of you that are native to the state, you got a real special gift. I really believe that. And let those who make fun of the state, let them make fun. Maybe they won't move here. We'll have it to ourselves. Though we have some new transplants right over here. Got a visitor in the back. And because I'm old and feeble, I forgot your first name. Is it Ronnie?
Greg.
That's close. Ronnie, Greg. They're like synonyms. He's just moved here from South Carolina. I hope that you went and welcomed him. He should have shaken every hand here, and he probably hasn't. But we're glad you're here, brother.
Amen.
All right. Able to find contentment and satisfaction, even when those personal plans we talked about and desires don't always work out. You say, but Pastor, the Bible says that God will give us the desires of our heart. Yeah, if they're in line with his will. We have a sinful desire. Is God going to give us that? Of course not. But when our will is, we are in the center of his will, we are in agreement, and we are walking hand in hand with the Lord in the power of the Holy Spirit. What we desire, God will give us because it'll be his desire in us. God's plans trump our own. The oldest saint who is honoring God, is growing in grace, has learned to live with some physical pain. We get older, we start hurting in spots we never thought possible. If we live long enough, we get weaker. Our bodies break down. I remember my dad was always a very strong, strong man. And he got older and got older and got older. And I noticed, because I didn't see him every day. I only saw him at the most once a year. Sometimes it would be 2 or 3 years before I saw him. And every time I saw him, he looked a little older. And as he got older, he got more feeble. And if he'd lived longer, if he hadn't gotten lung cancer, died at 82 and a half, he would have eventually become extremely feeble. Because we all do if we live long enough, no matter how strong we are. we grow weaker. And we understand that and we accept that because that's part of life. That's the way it is. Sometimes as we get older, if we've lost our spouse, there are more lonely times. Yesterday was one of those days for me, off and on throughout the day. I just was overwhelmed with a sense of loneliness. And of course, I know that God is there. The preacher has to preach to the preacher. I understand that he never leaves me nor forsakes me. But there's also that wonderful human touch that's not there, right? So there is loneliness. Sometimes we get older, we don't feel like we're very valuable anymore. Maybe we've retired from our job. We used to be successful at something, and now we've retired from it, and we feel like we're not as valuable as we used to be, or people don't think of us as highly as they used to. Older men that are mature in the Lord understand that, you know, we may not feel as appreciated as we used to, but God knows who we are, and never give up in serving Him, whether it be prayer, which is the most important. If we're physically not able to do much more than that, God understands that. But if we are physically able to serve in various capacities, God would certainly expect the older saint to be a model of service. Wouldn't you think? I hope I die before I have to retire from serving the Lord as a pastor. I hope I die. I really mean that. You folk have a lot to do with me being able, from the time Barbara died until today, to be able to continue on. This is when I feel myself. I'm going to have to start preaching 3-hour messages like they used to do back in the day, just so I can stay with you longer and feel more like myself longer. But I pray that the heart gives out or something before I have to stop preaching. I can't imagine my life without it. And I thought for a while about retiring. I really did. I was hinting about it. Remember that? But I don't have any. Now, don't think you're stuck with me again. Don't start a secret petition or something and have people sign it to get rid of me. If you think it's time for me to go, all you got to do is have a meeting, and I'm going to honor whatever you guys decide. So don't ever feel stuck. Everybody understand that? You look at me like, oh, man. It's been 8 years, not another 8. The Lord's going to come back soon anyway, okay? We're going to go up together. We're going up as one. So you guys hang on. None of you pass away till the Lord comes back and gets us all. We're all going up. So we learn through physical weakness, loneliness, being misunderstood sometimes, unappreciated. We accept it with grace. And you know what else? I think as we grow older, this is, of course, not just for men, women too. I think we understand Romans 8:28 a little bit better. Don't you think? Somebody want to quote it? Amen. All things. What does all mean, George? All means all, and that's all means. And all means all, that's all there is to it. All things work together for good. And as we're older, there are more things that have to work together, right? But when we look back over a period of 40 or 50 years, and longer, we can see God working. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing to look back. And in the most difficult days, I still remember like yesterday when we found our little 18-month-old daughter had passed away in her sleep. And how God met with us. I still can almost feel it. How God was there. And when Barbara died and she closed her eyes and went to sleep,
and we were all gathered around our bed. And God ministered. And all the things in between, the lean times financially, the physical trying times during Bible college, trying to work a couple jobs and so many hours a week and going to school full time, and how God was there the whole time. And when I was tempted to quit, God used especially Barbara to cheer me on and stay up at 1-2 in the morning to type my papers as I passed her a sheet. No computers back then. You had to type them on the old typewriter. That's it. She said, wake me up when you got two more. God was always there. And I know what Romans 8:28 means. That all things work together for good. Even the things we're ashamed of ultimately work together for good. To them that love God. To them that are the called. According to his purpose. So older men, keep looking up. Stay faithful. You get discouraged, look back over your life and what God has done for you and how he has honored your efforts. And let's together, men, be thankful to our God who has never left us nor forsaken us. And one day soon, if you've been born into his family, we're going to be reunited through death or rapture. In the meantime, let's keep on keeping on. You are honored, older men and older ladies. You are to be esteemed. And I, being one of you now, I even love you. I've always been drawn, even as a young pastor, from the very first day that I was a pastor. I was 30 years old when I assumed my first pastorate. And I was drawn to the senior saints from day one. A very important part of my ministry throughout all of the years in the various churches. Always I was drawn to the seniors. And I enjoyed, I remember one senior lady, I was visiting her. Her husband had died before I took the church, not too long before. And she was a sweet lady. And her hot water heater went up while I was there. She said, I don't have any hot water. And one of the thrills of my life was, I said, well, I can fit that. And the hot water heater wasn't in the house. It was in a separate building. Her husband, I think. And so I went out there and put a hot water heater. I just love to do things for the seniors. One lady, widow lady had a kitchen faucet go out. Get out of here, fly. Wonder if I'm smelling bad or something. And I put a faucet in. I'm not saying that to brag about it. I'm just saying that I had this relationship with the seniors. And now I am an old geezer. And I still love the seniors as well as all the always young, love the young people. All right, let's stand together. I don't know how I got off on that. Nostalgic. You know, you get older, your mind wanders and you start talking about stuff, you know. Father, thank you that you've been faithful all these years, 48 years almost, and you've always been near and dear, and when you need to work on me, you work on me, and you're always working in me, and thank you, Lord, for the senior men that are born-again believers that are here in this church. Bless them, give them strength, Lord. Help us to serve you better and not to quit. Sometimes we use age as an excuse to stop serving you, and I don't read that in the Bible, Lord. Help us to be men that complete the task, finish the race, keep running, keep serving, keep loving you and loving others. And Lord, I pray you'd bless now this invitation if there's one here that cannot say with assurance, when I die, I know I'm going to heaven. I'm as sure for heaven as if I were already there, not because I'm good or anything special, but Lord, because of what Christ did upon that cross. I pray that one would come and allow me to have someone take the word of God and show them how they can be saved and know it even today. So may you be pleased and glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.